Welcome to the Cinema Gulch Show, your home for all movie, TV, streaming, and other film news from around the industry. Join us as we dive into the latest headlines.
This past weekend saw Joker 2 record one of the worst week 2 drops in history, while Terrifier 3 scares the DC movie away from number 1. Joker 2 hits the top range of Saturday's 6.7 to 7 million projections. Terrifier 3 explodes to 18.3 million. Joker 2 is hitting an all-time low in its second weekend of the box office, falling far behind the rival evil clown movie Terrifier 3. The Joker 2 box office has failed to take the world by storm, debuting more than 100 million below the original 2019 DC Comics movie during its worldwide opening weekend. Meanwhile, the slasher sequel Terrifier 3, which features the return of Art the Clown, has been steadily gaining steam in its early projections during the lead-up to Halloween. As of Sunday morning, Terrifier 3 is projected to take the number one slot at the domestic box office over Joker, with a three-day opening weekend gross of $18.3 million, which outgrosses the entire $15.7 million worldwide theatrical run of Terrifier 2 in a single weekend. Meanwhile, Joker is cratering, currently projected to take in a second weekend gross of $7 million. This represents a drop of 81.3% from its already grim domestic opening weekend gross of $37.7 million. Joker 2 is now set to have the worst week 2 drop of any movie featuring a DC character, as well as the worst of the entire superhero genre, including notorious flops such as the Marvel, Shazam Fury of the Gods. It is headed for the 20th worst week 3 drop in domestic box office history, knocking 1991's Return to the Blue Lagoon down to number 21. In the process, it is falling straight from number 1 to number 3 on the domestic chart for this past weekend. With Joker falling so far, the Wild Robot release has maintained its spot at number 2, where it fell during its second weekend. Meanwhile, Beetlejuice Beetlejuice has fallen from number 3 to number 4, with a 7 million gross just a hair under Warner Brothers' reported earnings for Joker. The only other major new release to land in the top 5, the animated Lego biopic Piece by Piece, which debuted at number 5 with 3.8 million. A disappointing beginning considering the movie's $16 million budget and 81% Rotten Tomatoes score. Meanwhile, the Transformers 1 release has fallen off the chart, going from number 4 to number 6, with a 3.6 million 3-day gross, bringing its cumulative domestic total to 52.8 million. Its estimated cost is between 75 and 147 million, so it may not have made its budget back yet, as it has only crossed 100 million worldwide. Meanwhile, Speak No Evil, which recently became their highest grossing movie of the year, fell from number 5 to number 11 with 1.5 million. It's only a 46% drop, but the sheer number of new releases has pushed it down. The weekend's other well-reviewed award season new releases have fared even worse than Piece by Piece, with the SNL dramedy Saturday Night debuting at number 7 with 3.4 million, and the Sebastian Stan-led Donald Trump biopic taking number 10 with 1.5 million. The former title had an estimated budget of roughly 30 million, while the latter reportedly cost 16 million, so neither is faring particularly well. So what does this week 2 drop mean for Joker 2? This week 2 drop for the Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga-led sequel is astounding, but not necessarily a surprise considering the widespread negativity in Joker 2 reviews from both critics and audiences alike. In addition to earning a D cinema score, the worst for any comic book movie in history, it has a critic score of 33% and an audience score of 32% on Rotten Tomatoes at the time of this episode. However, this result is especially catastrophic, given the movie's roughly $200 million budget, which reportedly places its break-even point around $450 million. At the end of its first week, Joker 2 only earned $121.5 million worldwide. While it performed better internationally than in North America during its debut, it still turned out lukewarm results overseas, falling far behind initial projections. It may not prove to have the same kind of steep week 2 drop internationally when its overseas weekend is tabulated, but its prospects are looking dire nonetheless, as it was likely only going to be able to break even if it kept the same pace as the original movie, which only had a 41.9%. Though Joker 2 is crashing and burning, the Terrifier 3 release shows that there is still hope for the October box office. Although its opening weekend is lower than Joker's, it is operating in an entirely different sphere. To begin with, The notoriously gory slasher movie has a more limited audience than the DC movie, even though both are rated R. Additionally, Art the Clown movie only cost $2 million, meaning it has already more than broken even in just 3 days, becoming the latest 2024 hit. Let me know your thoughts on the box office results of this past weekend, and let me know if you were surprised that Joker 2 crashed and burned like it did, and whether or not you plan on seeing Joker 2. If you have already, what did you think of it? And if you haven't, let us know. Now on to our next topic. One of the best MCU TV shows gets an unexpected update after being 2 years in limbo. Moon Knight is one of Marvel Studios' most successful but almost forgotten entries in the TV arm of the MCU. However, over 2 years since the series debuted on Disney+, there's still no sign of a clearly signposted second season being in development. But according to a new rumor from the Cosmic Circus, Alex Perez, there has finally been some movement towards the return of Oscar Isaac as Mark Spector. While these are still considered rumors for now, the news from Perez is a step in the right direction for Moon Knight fans, who have come to believe that they would never see Mark Spector and his alter egos return to screens. According to Perez, Marvel Studios has finally landed an idea for the second season of Moon Knight that has them excited. Although he went on to say that there has been no indication of when Isaac may be seen back in the role, he did note with a certain confidence Moon Knight will return. Considering Marvel Studios' track record for never allowing any of their main characters to drift away into obscurity, the ending of the series was a clear promise of more to come from a supernatural corner of the MCU. Even though the series was handled as a limited series in many respects, including being entered into the Emmys as such, there has always been a strong belief that Moon Knight would return in some capacity. With rumors of a Midnight Suns project currently doing the rounds again, the idea of Mark Spector featuring in the future of the franchise seems like it was always part of the plan. While there are many Marvel Studio releases that have a definite place in the MCU timeline, Moon Knight is not one of them. Although there has been plenty of speculation about the series taking place sometime in 2025, the series completely avoided making connections to the wider MCU, something that served it well in the long run. One of Moon Knight's biggest advantages was that the audiences did not need to know anything about the world of Marvel movies to be able to dip in and enjoy the ride. As a standalone series, it delivered the kind of story that it did not alienate anyone by requiring viewers to have watched the previous movies and shows or even care about them in any way. This also allowed the series to play very loose with the timing of its events. Despite many believing that the show happened in 2025, Marvel Studios gave it the ambiguity to be able to have a second season roll out any time during or after the multiverse saga. What this means is that there is no way of telling when we will actually see Moon Knight again, although an appearance in the animated What If Season 3 has been rumored. With so many other plates already spinning when it comes to the multiverse's saga's upcoming end in Avengers Secret Wars, it would certainly seem wise to keep Moon Knight and several other supernatural Marvel heroes for whatever comes next. And now on to some more news surrounding Kevin Smith. His film Dogma is returning to theaters and Blu-ray. Indie filmmaker and geek icon Kevin Smith will tour with a print of his film Dogma next year, bringing the movie back to the big screen for the first time in years. Smith wrote, directed, and starred in the film, and has yet revealed who acquired the movie's rights. Contrary to earlier rumors, he has said it is not Paramount, but he did confirm during a recent interview that Dogma has been rescued from its years-long limbo and that its new owners contacted Smith right away about making new Blu-rays and re-releasing the movie in 2025. Following the commercial disaster of Zach and Miri Make a Porno in 2008, Smith has primarily self-financed his films, opting to take movies like Red State, Tusk, Jay and Silent Bob Reboot on the road, where he can screen them for enthusiastic audiences who will pay a premium to get a Q&A after the show. The movie's been bought away from the guy that headed for years and whatnot. The company that bought it, we met with them a couple months ago. They were like, would you be interested in re-releasing it and touring it like you did with your movies? Kevin Smith said, 100%, are you kidding me? Touring a movie that I know people like and it's sentimental and nostalgic will clean up. At the time of its production, Dogma was Kevin Smith's fourth feature film following the Jersey trilogy of Clerks, Small Rats, and Chasing Amy, although it was written much earlier. Closing credits to 1994's Clerks.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He promised Jay and Silent Bob will return in Dogma, but Smith couldn't get financing for the movie and made Mallrats instead in 1994. That prompted a cheeky Jay and Silent Bob will return in Dogma promise tag on Chasing Amy in 97. Dogma was released in 1999, but not without some controversy. After learning the movie's premise, a pair of fallen angels risk the apocalypse, defying God's will and trying to use a loophole in Catholic dogma to get back into heaven. A number of groups protested to Disney, who ultimately got scared of protests and pulled the movie from its release slate. Disney was considering shelving Dogma altogether, but instead, two of its producers used their own personal money to buy it from Disney. They turned a profit by licensing it to Lionsgate for theatrical distribution and Sony for home entertainment. At the time, it was unclear whether the film would ever see the light of day, but once Lionsgate obtained the distribution right, it became a hit and one of Smith's best-reviewed movies. Smith explained years later, streaming video wasn't in wide commercial use at the time the agreements were signed, so nobody ever thought to secure rights to future technology. Of course, those producers who swung in to save it couldn't be relied upon to do a reissue themselves. Why? Because it was Bob and Harvey Weinstein, Hollywood's most notorious abusers who have had other things on their minds over the last few years. Dogma stars Smith alongside his longtime co-star friend Jason Mewes. The movie also features Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, Alan Rickman, Chris Rock, Jason Lee, and others. Betty Aberlin, best known for her work on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, appeared in Dogma as a bewildered nun. Recently did her second Kevin Smith movie, the 4:30 movie, in which she plays the mother of one of the teenage main characters. There's no word yet on specific release plans or dates for the Dogma reissue. Keep your eye on the Cinema Gold Show for more. Let me know your thoughts on Dogma. And now on to our next topic surrounding an iconic 90s thriller. Mary Elizabeth Winstead has joined the reboot of the iconic 90s thriller Hand That Rocks the Cradle. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, best known for her roles in movies like Scott Pilgrim vs. the World and 10 Cloverfield Lane, will star in the upcoming retelling of The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, Curtis Hanson's original 92 thriller starring Rebecca De Mornay, a film, one of the domestic thrillers that rose to prominence in the late 80s and early 90s, centered on a widow who was stalking and harassing a couple. In The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, De Mornay played a woman whose husband killed himself after being reported for sexually abusing one of his patients. The stress of his charges and then his death contributed to De Mornay's character having a miscarriage. Following the miscarriage, she had a mental break and ultimately decided to take her grief and anger out on his victim and her husband. Deadline reported Winstead is in talks to play Claire, the doctor's victim, a role originally played by Annabella Sciorra. Monroe will reportedly play the antagonist, originally played by De Mornay, and there's no word on who will play either of the husbands. The original film was released through Disney's now defunct Buena Vista Pictures and Hollywood Pictures imprints, and will now be produced by 20th Century Studios, formerly 20th Century Fox. Michelle Garza Cervera is set to direct the remake, which is being produced by Radar Pictures. The original farm also starred Matt McCoy, Ernie Hudson, and Julianne Moore, and earned $140 million at the box office against a reported budget of around $12 million. And with that, we dive into our next topic. And for you gamers out there, is Halo coming to PS5? Some fans are now thinking so. Is Xbox finally bringing Halo to PlayStation consoles, starting with the PS5? There's been rumors and reports over the years from credible sources that Microsoft was toying with the idea of making Halo multi-platform. So far, it has resisted the temptation. However, some PlayStation fans think it is finally about to cave. Over on Twitter/X, whatever you want to call it, and other parts of the internet, some think Sony has inadvertently confirmed that Halo is coming to PlayStation consoles. However, this isn't quite the case. Those making the argument have pointed to the revelation that future Halo games will make use of Sony's AudioKinetic Wise. How do we know this? Well, because of a job listing out of Halo Studios. Job listing says, quote, as the senior technical sound designer, you will work with audio programmers, the audio team, and other disciplines to implement audio into Unreal and WYs for upcoming Halo titles. This would be noteworthy if the tech wasn't already used on multiple platforms. In other words, this isn't new, and by no means does it confirm Halo is PlayStation bound, as this is a technology many games use, including Xbox made games. Now, it is quite possible the next Halo game and future games after that will be on PlayStation consoles as Xbox slowly shifts to a multi-platform strategy. Further, the Halo franchise needs it because it has been slowly losing relevancy due to underwhelming releases and Xbox's shrinking share of the console market. However, there is nothing in this job listing that points to this. When and if Halo does come to PlayStation consoles, it is unlikely to be as big of a deal as it would have once been. Not only is the idea of Xbox games on PlayStation consoles no longer novel, but Halo isn't as big anymore. And as long as 343 Industries, which recently rebranded to Halo Studios, is at the helm of the series, we don't expect this to change. And of course, finally, tonight, Bruce Campbell hints that his Pizza Papa Marvel role may be more than a cameo. When Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness hit theaters, fans were thrilled to see Bruce Campbell make an appearance in the film as Pizza Papa, a food vendor who has a brief encounter with Doctor Strange in an alternate universe, leading to the latter casting a spell on Pizza Papa that left the pizza vendor hitting himself in the face for weeks. The appearance marked Campbell's return to Marvel, having previously had cameos in Sam Raimi's Spider-Man movies, but it sounds like we may be seeing more of Pizza Papa, and he may be a much bigger character than we think. Campbell recently opened up about his Pizza Papa appearance and suggested that there's much more to Pizza Papa than meets the eye. Saying, quote, well, the fourth one, it's not a Spider-Man movie, but it is Doctor Strange. I play Pizza Papa, but ask yourself, timeline, in the Marvel timeline, I'm just a Pizza Papa. Don't kid yourself. My contract for that movie is that thick. Do you think I'd sign that thick of a contract for a simple little throwaway character? What did I do in that movie? I delayed Doctor Strange. We didn't fight, but I delayed him and saved his life. Marvel World is really just starting, and I can only comment so much. The idea that Pizza Papa might have a much larger role in the MCU isn't exactly a new concept. Campbell once told Comic Book that not only are his cameos in Raimi's Spider-Man trilogy and Pizza Papa the same character from across the universe, but his real identity hasn't been revealed yet. Cameos are like in the Spider-Man movies. If you know anything about the multiverse, you now know, retroactively, I'm in the multiverse now because of Doctor Strange. I'm not a pizza vendor, okay? That would be a massive mistake to think I'm just a pizza vendor, or an usher, or a ring announcer, or a maitre d'. It's called a multiverse, my friend, Campbell once said. So yes, he is the same character, but we don't know who he really is. It has not been revealed yet. I just got off the phone with the guys at Marvel, and we're getting close to finding out. If you get hung up on the fact that he's a pizza guy, you are so wrong. You are so short-sighted in your thinking. Not a cameo, it's a building block. Because what did I do to Doctor Strange during that scene? I intercepted him. I got information out of him. I was able to report on his whereabouts, and I delayed him for about 45 seconds. He's in one universe and be in the others. The way these multiverses work, nothing is what it seems like. While the future of Campbell and Pizza Papa in the MCU is something that fans will just have to watch and see play out, the odds of seeing the actor appear again does seem to be likely. Back in 2022, after he first commented about Pizza Papa being perhaps more than just a cameo, earlier this month it was reported that Raimi is rumored to be returning for a third Doctor Strange film, with Raimi having previously taken over Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness from Doctor Strange director Scott Derrickson. Given that Raimi and Campbell have been frequent collaborators, even beyond Marvel projects, the Evil Dead franchise comes to mind. Not a stretch to think that Campbell might make his way back to the MCU if Raimi returns as well, and who knows? Maybe that's where the real nature of Pizza Papa will start to come to light, especially if he were to have a larger role. So let me know your thoughts on the topics we covered. If there's anything we missed, let me know what you want covered next. And of course, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/cinemagold. As always, your support helps the channel grow, upgrade our equipment, bring in new hosts, be able to pay them, and one day take this show on the road. Of course, your support, no matter how much, is very appreciated, and you can play a part in making our dreams a reality. So as always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to The Cinema Gold Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms, as well as support the show by buying us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/cinemagold.